Here we are, guys. Episode 2 of the Saturday Morning Cuddle Talk podcast. We actually are going to have the guest, the man himself, Sonny Perez. We're here to talk about the none other than Minnesota Miracle Play. Oh, Stephon Diggs and Case Keenum hooking up for a walk-off touchdown. Best thing that's ever happened to Minnesota for a long time. Get ready, guys. We're going to get into it. And look out for Andrew Merrick being a complete optimist. I'm absolutely joking, you guys. Get ready. It's going to be absolutely hilarious seeing him get into this topic when we actually face off against the Eagles. We're going to talk this in the offseason. What do you say? Let's go. After a long wait of Drew fixing his hair, we are back at it for the second episode of the Saturday Morning Cuddle Talk podcast. We are discussing the miracle in Minnesota, the Minnesota Miracle, guys. Drew, where were you at that point in time?
I was, you know, curled up in a ball in my parents' basement watching the game.
Sucking your thumb. It was just a Sunday, then you realized the Vikings were playing.
It had gotten to the point where I knew, or I thought that shit was going to go south, and when that play actually happened.
But typically, with you being such a pessimist, that's like the first quarter. Like you,
right?
You,
no, the whole
it's like
time,
kickoff. Like, oh, I kicked it wrong.
Yeah, right. I mean, like the whole game. I'm like, you know, we're better than this team. We should win, which is why we probably won't. And we ended up dominating the first half of that game. And I'm just thinking to myself, this is too right. It has to be wrong. That's what I thought to myself. I'm like, there's something. Something has to go wrong.
It was a completely great game, honestly. It was a back and forth battle.
It was a tale of two halves. It was a tale of two halves. The first half, it was just complete Vikings domination.
Yeah.
It looked like they're going to run away with it. When I knew full well they had Drew Brees on the other sideline and he was going to make a comeback. And he did.
When you play against Drew Brees, you expect a nonstop fight from a quarterback standpoint.
Well, yeah, he's one of the best quarterbacks
exactly,
that's ever
of all time.
Like, you're not just going to, you know, especially the Vikings, because the Vikings are, they'll choke. They'll try their best. They'll try their best to choke. And it's one of the better sports. And that's kind of sad to say it's one of the better sports moments in Minnesota, because that just, we don't have any titles. So, like, we got to go to the next step.
We still have nothing to go off of. By the way, guys, we're also joined by my brother, Sonny, the No Pantalones Perez. Who's going to be joining us for the rest of the remainder of the podcast for here on out. We're also going to be getting some actual special guests here pretty soon. We're looking at Arnold Schwarzenegger and a few others, but we're waiting to hear back. Drew's on that one right now.
Yeah, they should be getting back to me soon here. So,
Sonny, where were you at in this game?
I was about one shot in.
Sonny's also dyslexic, so he's trying to figure out everything he's saying before.
I was at Boardwalk watching the game, and they had a nice little intro to the let you get warmed up for the game by giving you a shot every
it's
time.
A, is it a shot every time? Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was what? 4 minutes in when they scored?
Yeah.
It was right off the bat. It was within like 3 or 4 minutes of the free.
You thought you were going to be going right off the bat there. It was like, oh, God, we're going to win this game by a blowout.
Oh, yeah, I was expecting to get wasted at that point. I mean, with the way they scored and opened up, I mean, they're looking good. But this is going to be easy. No problem.
Yeah.
No, it was.
That's how all Vikings fans, you know, they don't want to let themselves think like that. But at the end of the day, we do get a little optimistic at times, knowing full well that we're setting ourselves up.
You guys were both in the comfort of your, like, you guys' own home. You're sitting there watching.
I was at my parents' place.
Sucking your thumb. Yeah. And my brother's at Boardwalk drinking some alcohol, and he's just having a good time. And I'm sitting.
That's a alcohol. Needless to say, that was the one.
I was sitting in California, actually, at that point in time. Yeah. That's where I was. I was at California, and everybody's like, oh, well, Bob, they're done, you know, 40 some seconds left. And I'm sitting there, and I was like, I can't give up hope yet. I just can't. Like, until that hits zero, like,
that's
I can't
the
give up.
The total opposite of me. I was curled up.
Drew, you were curling your thumb at, like, 14 minutes, 59 seconds of the first quarter. Like, that was.
But let me tell you this. Like, it's when it got down to the fourth quarter and Saints took the lead and we were on that last drive. It's the only way I can put it is, like, it was basically like me sobbing uncontrollably, like eating peanut butter out of a jar by hand in a dark room. That's to the point that I got to. And
when I saw Keenum connect with with Stephon Diggs, like, and I saw that play happen. I lost my mind. Like, the first thing was weird.
Get out of bounds, right?
that was like my first thought. I was like, get out of bounds. There's somebody about to hit you right now. But then I realized it was a safety coming in, and I was like, what is that guy doing trying to attack low on the legs? First of all, the body.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about, like, form tackling, like, what you're taught in football. The guy did everything that you're not supposed to do.
Exactly.
Like, he 100%. Just hit his head. He led with his head.
Led with his shoulder.
Like, so they deserve, I mean, he, well, they pulled, team it was maybe like, not, didn't deserve that, but for sure that safety's going to learn a little lesson.
I definitely think that, like, Weekend at Bernie's, like, took place right there, like, where Bernie just, like, just possessed that guy's body and just went limp. He just saw him go down to the ground.
Yeah, he went into zombie mode. It's pretty much what it was.
It's actually a good pull, because that's getting what it looked like. It was like throwing a dummy out there.
It was like a crash grinder. Like, hey, we'll get him.
Just a lifeless dummy. That's
like Sean Payton was dressed in camouflage and just throwing out a dummy out there.
somebody, you know, some people like to think that Prince had something to do with it, like shot him down from the heavens or something like that. A little purple rain on that guy.
But there was like a lot of like stuff that went into like the editing and the graphic design. Like there's so much stuff going on there.
But in terms of like sports plays, when it comes to like as a sports fan, like what are some of your like favorite plays that you've as a fan of all the teams that you root for? What are some of the favorite?
Honestly,
plays?
Honestly, not even the top teams that I root for, but like, you can go back to Cal versus
or just
Stanford.
Any play. Cal versus Stanford. The band's on the field.
Play. That's a huge play, Derek. Here's the thing. I hate the Yankees, but Derek Jeter, when he actually tossed that ball back behind his... that's a solid play.
You know, that's a...
That's a tits play.
You know, that's another day that we're going to rant on Derek Jeter. We won't do it today. I'll just say one thing. He's the most overrated baseball
player. Mulatto my ass. You're white.
It's one of those things that it'll be special for Vikings fans for until, you know.
Oh, 100%.
Forever. Like, it's an incredible play that we don't get those things. Those breaks don't happen for us.
Can I tell you something right now? Actually, after listening to our podcast a few times and actually talking with other people, I agree with you. Or like 100%, like those are my words that I say, like that's like my catchphrase, like it's gonna be like written on a t-shirt at some point in time.
I won't wear it but
yours was fuck. I guess it was just like it was a word, any smart word, I guess.
Well, you know, I had a couple in the first podcast, folks. I had a few too many in me, so
there was a priest that was actually throwing holy water at his phone.
I deserved it at that point in time, but I'm gonna keep swearing. That's just what I kind of do best, so.
No, but what do you think is like top plays?
You got to think. I mean, I don't really remember it, and that's another reason why it's kind of sad to be a Minnesota fan, because you don't remember a lot of the great things that happened. Puckett's game six of the World Series.
When he runs up the wall,
where he that catch up is iconic catch up against the wall.
Exactly. No, that's what I was actually getting to. But like, you think about it, like Minnesota
like
sports.
That. You think of like individual plays, but like, you know, you want them to be in, obviously you like them to be in big games. I think sometimes they're not. Puckett's.
By the way, all three of us are Minnesota Gophers hockey fans, like just unreal, I think. Well, I should probably get my brother-in-law here so he can actually be more of a fanatic, but Kyle Okposo threw the legs against, I think it was like Mankato. You remember that play where he's actually...
I remember, yeah, that was...
He's dangling.
It was just kind of more of a cool play. I don't think there was any ramifications in the game. It was just kind of like one of those things.
It was just a solid play, like where he actually shot it in there. Sonny, if you say Ohio State, Miami in the championship game, that was complete bullshit where there was pass interference.
I was going to throw up Blake Wheeler real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Blake Wheeler's a fantastic... The diving shot up into the corner.
Hey, any Sioux fans we have out there, we're sorry, guys.
It's
part of life.
I apologize. Yeah, we I don't. I do. I don't. Life. But anyway. No, it's. You think of some of the sports. We got Puckett, 91 World Series. The guy, not just games. Like Game Six was the game that everybody remembers. But he played pretty good in that whole series. And
But I mean, like that was. It's like you said. It was like it was an iconic thing. Like that's a posterized picture right there. Right. If you get that as a shot as a photographer, you're winning. You're winning anything.
Yep.
It is a solid shot.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, I like to say there's a lot more things that kind of took place in our lifetime, like in terms of sport. There's really not a ton, but that's why the Minneapolis Miracle is what it is. It's gonna go down as one of the greatest plays in Vikings history, regardless if they won the Super Bowl or not, which they didn't.
You could say the women's soccer team went in, whatever, was it beating North, like Korea or like China or Japan?
You're talking about the World Cup
play. Yeah, like years ago.
Yeah,
like
that was cool. I mean, even if you're not like a soccer fan.
Oh, the shirt. God, what was her jersey?
Brandy Chastain. That
was a huge thing.
What does that do with Minnesota?
I'm just saying sports in general. Yeah. Where are you at?
It's USA. It's a collective effort.
Yeah, Sonny.
I'm just saying.
Sonny, this is America. Minnesota. By the way, we didn't vote
like,
for Trump.
Notable sports moments. I mean,
yeah. No, that was a cool moment for sure. For some reason, I always, and that's another, and that's crazy that soccer, because soccer is not close to my favorite sport. But
by the way,
Landon Donovan in the World Cup, I think it was two World Cups ago, where he scored two, like one in the last minute of that. For some reason, that sticks in my head.
But you legitimately, as a sports fan, you really can't even go and say that you don't enjoy watching soccer. Like, I can.
No, I like soccer.
We've actually watched a few games that are like Euro Cup or World Cup or.
Oh, yeah. Our buddy Lurch, I used to watch soccer with him all the time back in the day, and he's
Casey Morton. If you're listening, we still call you Lurch up here.
Yeah, we do. You do. You're still lanky, and I don't care where you live now. You're still one of us.
Exactly. So if you guys don't know our friend, he is about 6 foot ten.
He's got to be 7 foot
pale
four,
white.
Right
now. By 7 foot four, yeah.
Yeah, he in there.
Pale white, slowly graying hairs. I don't think he's ever seen sunlight in his life, but that's just him. But here's. A main thing that we should be talking about right now, the offseason.
Yeah, Vikings offseason. Yeah, the Kirk Cousins move is...
I don't even want to talk about the Eagles game. I just want to talk about
the offseason. No, we're going to skip that because it's the most fucking depressing thing ever.
It was. I mean, what happened there? Keenum starts it off hot, then all of a sudden we throw one interception.
I'll just say this. They had a really good game plan. They got the ball out of Foles' hands quick. Their offensive line just won the battle.
It wasn't even just their offensive line. It was the whole
defensive
line.
They
just played well.
There's really not much you can say. That Vikings game was.
When you want to say
it was one of those games where after the miracle play you thought you might have been like a team of destiny, mm-hmm. but then it comes down to it and you're like, wait a minute, we're still the Minnesota Vikings. We still fuck shit up all the time.
That's right.
So that's
pretty
exactly
sure
what
Gary
they
Anderson
did.
Came in and played quarterback for us like 7 plays.
I think Gary Anderson was wearing Foles' helmet. Like in his jersey. I think he was in there. He was probably hucking those passes because he's like, you know what? I got to get these.
He was kicking them in there.
Just I got to get these assholes
shucking
again.
Shucking them in.
I got to get them again. I already torched them once.
God damn it, Gary.
There's more infamous plays, I think, in Minnesota than there would ever be.
There is. There really
There's more
is.
Infamous than, like, you know, you got the knocking the Vikes out of the playoffs, the back of the end zone against the Cardinals back in the day.
But, there really is. I mean, they're. It's just tough to see that we never really move past it and actually get really excited for anything else, like hoisting a trophy.
Yeah, our teams always seem to be in the mix. That's the problem. It's like we're confident enough to be competitive and to make it to the playoffs. We can just never get to that final step.
But here's the funny thing, though, too. It's not even just pro sports. It's sports in general. It's college sports. It's anything. Basketball, baseball, football, hockey. Like it's all sorts of different facets. Sonny has been... obviously spoiled with Urban Myers, who's cheated.
Spoiled? No.
Several times Jim Tressel cheated.
Go back to Jim Tressel.
Jim Tressel cheated.
Just a good program.
John Cooper.
No, it's an asterisk. I'm not going to count that pass interference call. We should have won one. Hoist it up.
It's a good program.
That's a complete lie. The referees actually came out. They actually said we cheated.
It goes both ways.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, we can
Miami never cheats. They don't do anything wrong. Those guys are saints.
There's no way Miami's ever done anything recruiting wise that would get them in trouble. Like, you know, a guy paying off debts and whatnot. No, you never.
Drew, ever. You're getting a little outlandish there.
Alabama, I think they buy their kids cars. You know, the kids they bring in, I think they all get a new Lambo.
Yeah, they all get Ford Festivas and they trade them in on their own. Yep. And they sell them for a whopping price of $70,000.
Yeah, I mean, all these Alabama kids.
Great trade-in value.
Yeah.
Great trade-in value.
All these Alabama kids, you know, they have these sweet cars because they, you know, they have these sweet jobs working mowing lawns for people. And...
So, obviously, let's get into it. The Vikings finished 13-3 last year. NFC North champs. But... we're still missing a few aspects right now. We got rid of 3 quarterbacks. Obviously, we brought in Kirk Cousins. What's your take on Kirk Cousins and what he's going to be able to do for the team?
You know what? It's a move I feel like the Vikings just... First of all, I respect the Vikings front office for doing this because they're going all in. They realize that they have a lot of the pieces that they need to win a Super Bowl. It's just a matter of sealing the deal now, I think. And they've got... signing Cousins, you know, a lot of people are going to look at the money and they're going to look at, you know, 3 years, that's a lot of money, we're not going to be able to sign all these years. But I think Spielman and those guys, like, they have a pretty good idea of who they want in there and the guys that they're going to be able to bring back. And we already re-signed Kendricks, and I think we'll get deals done with Barr and Diggs, and then there might be an odd guy out in there somewhere, but... it's as a sports fan, as a Vikings fan, you want to see guys go all in. You want to see them say, hey, our team's good enough right now. Let's go steal something. Like, let's go take something that we deserve, that we've worked for. Vikes are there's no reason why they shouldn't be competitive for a Super Bowl again this year. I mean, we can all expect that they'll fuck something up along the way. But, I mean, injuries typically happen to us. They so do. This, if we have they Dalvin do. Cook back, we didn't have all last but year.
That's an
injuries idea. You can't control, but I feel like they just come down harder on us because we've been shit on for however many years now. It's like,
you look at the season right now, I think, coming in, and you see Dalvin Cook coming back. Hopefully,
just the weapons.
Hopefully healthy. But then you also have Murray, Latavius Murray coming in, and
we obviously... Coming in, he's coming back.
Well, he's coming back, yeah. But we have... We lost Jerry McKinnon, and that was like a big thing for me. I think that I loved to see him play because he was so small and he ran with such like a
he's a good player. He's a great player. The Niners paid a lot of money to get him, which says a lot. Well, he's the guy who can do a lot of things well. But, what he can do well, Dalvin Cook can do better. But
the Niners also lost Carlos Hyde, was it, Sonny?
Yes.
Carlos Hyde went to the Browns.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're looking for somebody to replace that role. But I think you have the offense there. You should have an offense there. Despite what everybody says about Kyle Rudolph.
Kyle Rudolph. You can't say anything bad about Kyle Rudolph. The guy's a red zone monster.
Exactly. But obviously, you have Andrew Stocker, who is one of our friends, who looks like a smaller version of Kyle Rudolph.
Kind
of
does, yeah, a little bit.
He hates him because Kyle Rudolph stole Andrew Stocker's style. And I said, Stocker, that's not what football's about. What,
picking up chicks? Or...
Exactly.
Yeah, it's too bad.
Being a ginger with a little bit of spots of golden flakes in his face. But I think that you have Kyle Rudolph, who is a great hands tight end when he gets in that red zone.
I mean, he is a good hands guy, but he's a pretty good route runner. He's got size.
He's not going to be a guy that's going to tear it up. I mean,
what? I'll say this about Kyle Rudolph. He's going to have the best year he's had. If I could throw a prediction, I think he might be one of the leading receivers on the Vikings this year. Like, I think he could take a lot of... I mean, Cousins has proved in the past 5 years he loves his tight ends. Jordan Reed. He had Vernon Davis, even though Vernon Davis is fucking washed up. Like, he's been really good. He's been really good at throwing to tight ends for a long time. And those are guys that are not nearly as talented as
Kyle Rudolph. $60 down right now to say that Vernon Davis loses to Sonny in a 40-yard dash.
If Vernon Davis doesn't pick this up right now,
he's done.
I'm taking Sonny. I'm taking Sonny all
That's
day.
That's how you get guessed in, Sonny.
Yeah.
Wow. Throw Vernon Davis on me in a race.
I think you got him.
That's your own fault for losing weight.
Or we can do a bench press off where you guys can just hammer out 100 reps.
We want to try that one. Yeah. The race, I think.
Sonny, we can do 140 pounds at 100 reps.
And if you can outrun Vernon Davis, then you could be a backup tight end for the Vikings because Kirk Cousins loves his tight ends that can run. So that's a good point. This is going to be good. Okay. He hasn't had any weapons.
Kirk Cousins hasn't?
He hasn't had very many weapons in Washington.
DeShaun Jackson?
Yeah, everybody says DeShaun Jackson, but he hasn't done shit since he left. He's been okay for Tampa. He's been very okay.
He's cutting a new album with Will Smith, actually.
Is he really? Is that a real thing? Or are you just?
I have no clue. I'm just throwing that out there.
Folks, you can expect a lot of things from this podcast. You can expect us to butcher the English language, Bobby to make up words. these are things you're just gonna have to get used to. So,
it's terrible. It's terrible. But no, obviously we discussed the obviously receiver or not even receiver. We discussed tight end. We discussed running back. But receivers, obviously, Adam Thielen will come back. Stephon Diggs.
I mean,
Treadwell. I think Treadwell can actually produce.
Sounds like
I think he can if he learns the playbook according to Zim.
If that's what the problem is, if the guys can't learn the playbook, then maybe it's tough.
That's the thing. It was the same problem we had with Cordell. Cordarrelle Patterson.
No, actually, Cordell couldn't run a route to save his life.
But that's reading the playbook.
Not necessarily. You running routes?
Yeah, running routes is reading the playbook. If you can't run this shit, if you can't run a zig, or if you can't run an out or slant right properly.
Kind of. I mean, I agree and disagree. Like, you can be a good route runner, but still not comprehend a playbook.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you can't... Like, I don't know. Like, Treadwell, this is his last... I think, honestly, this year's last chance.
Treadwell?
He might be under contract, but just because if he has a bad year, I just don't think he's got much
I absolutely
left.
Love the guy. I was talking about this
Sunny. Is this only like a second year?
This is his third year, but at some point...
Yeah, he came out of Duke. That's right.
He came what?
I think he came out with Duke Johnson.
Oh, with your boy Duke Johnson.
It was his third year.
He was like Ole Miss.
He was his third year. I was expecting just lights out work from him. He's a big guy.
He can catch
passes. Like he's shown glimmers of hope of amazing stuff.
His problem is he's not fast. Like he doesn't create much separation.
No. But that's what, his first initial step should
be. If you watch him, like, if you watch any, like, plays of him close up from the games last year, you know, the Vikings games last year.
Yeah.
Like, Keenum would, when Trado was catching footballs, which is rare, he has good hands. He can catch the football for sure. But all of his catches, very rarely is he not have a guy glued on him. Like, it's a...
Exactly, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a man-on-man kind of, like, stick-on-you cover.
He's got a guy hanging around.
Shut-down corner, yeah.
Like, I think, like, if teams ran a lot of zone against the Vikings, which they... You know, that's a dying thing in the NFL. I mean, they still, obviously people still do it, but Treadwell would be very good if teams ran zone. Like, he's a guy that could pick up
everything. I think that they run man a lot, or they run, zone every once in a while, but I think they really kind of trend to the cover two in that kind of sense.
And then as a receiver, he would be fine if people don't run those defenses nearly as much as they used to.
Exactly.
Like the, long passing downs, I'm sure sometimes they do.
Dalvin Cook, we're all hoping nothing but the best for Dalvin Cook.
Obviously.
Cook coming off of like 70-some carries odd plus and 300-some yards. He really didn't show a whole lot because he only played 4 games, but he was still like his glimmers of hope. Like against that first game against New Orleans where he had like 120-some yards rushing.
That's pretty good.
So fucking impressive.
He's got talent. Like if the knees hold up. He's been injured in college. He's been injured.
He has.
He hasn't proved that he can stay healthy, even in college. And that's why I think that's part of the reason. I know the whole knock on him was he's got some off-the-field, issues or whatever.
I think everybody does.
What is it? What's an off-field issue now?
Well, you look at our draft pick, Mike Hughes. Mike Hughes was kicked off of University of North Carolina.
Dalvin Cook had something even more minor than that.
I think I think he ate a Twizzler in class.
Yeah, that's what... And he stole crab legs.
Yep.
Oh, wait a minute. Yep. That wasn't him.
That was... Maybe...
But he's one of those guys where it's like he can do everything. He's just got to be able to stay on the field. And he's been injured his whole career. It's more than anything. It's just like
honestly, it's been weird things like a hammy site or something like that, or like an ankle sprain.
Well, he tore an ACL in college. I don't think he tore an ACL in college. I think it was a different.
I think he had 100%. He had a sprain. He had like a stressed out hamstring or some
maybe that's what it was. Stuff like that. Yeah, he's been injured his whole.
He plays for Florida State, so I don't really give two shits about him. But when he comes off that field and he comes playing for the Vikes, it's a different thing. So
the Florida State, like, he was injured there too. It's for all it really is for me is because the guy's got all the talent in the world. Can he stay on the field? Like, that's another reason I think that he fell the second round in the draft when he came out is because he was hurt in college. Yep. Like, he missed half of his senior year and part of his junior year. And it's like, what do you do with a guy like this? Like, he's got all the talent in the world, but he can't stay on the field. So, Vikings are notorious for taking flyers on guys. Randy Moss and, who else was it? Was it Michael Bennett?
No, what was the defensive tackle?
Oh, Auburn? No.
Kevin Williams?
The one that showed up in the Army fatigues. Remember this dude?
Oh, no. I know Ontario Smith was another guy that had a...
Wizenator. Yeah.
No,
it was a Wizenator.
We're talking about...
The dude that they blanked on the draft pick. Remember when their time came
Underwood.
Out? Yes.
Underwood. No, they got Kevin Williams when they screwed up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They screwed up the draft and Kevin Williams taking Oklahoma State.
They did it back-to-back years, didn't they?
Yeah, but I think they screwed up twice. But they got lucky the one year.
You know what the problem was?
Kevin Williams fell.
They were filming a podcast. Guys, if you're with a Vikings organization, let us call a pick. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, we'll call it in. I'll be 17 beers deep. And
Drew's reading the paper. With the first pick and the first... we'll pick anybody.
Yeah.
You want to come and see?
I'll take that guy with the tie. And that's who we take. We probably win a Super Bowl.
So obviously we're talking about Dalvin. Dalvin, hopefully he's coming back either way. But we have Latavius Murray who's going to come back and tear stuff up. But we also have the offensive line who has been a big working project. Obviously Easton coming in.
It's really the only question mark that the team has now.
Yeah, you think so.
I mean, that's another thing. You got to have...
Didn't they have a lot of depth coming back?
They have veteran guys.
A lot of depth coming back.
They do have depth, but is it the depth of talent? Like, you know what I mean? Like, they have guys that have played
in the NFL,
but they're
getting
older. Reif is older now. Remmers is older now.
Exactly. But I think that we have guys that can come in and play the role that we need to.
As long as we don't have to play TJ Clemmings, I'll be fine.
Because
he doesn't play with us anymore, and he might have been the worst offensive lineman that I've ever seen in my life.
Didn't TJ Clemmings retire?
No, he plays for...
Wasn't he from Boise?
TJ Clemmings is from Pittsburgh. He's a Pittsburgh Panther.
Okay, who's the guy that retired from Boise?
Lineman?
Yeah, it was a lineman that we actually had.
Cecil Fielder.
Now you're just one of those names. That's fucked up, Drew.
Got you.
Okay, Kirk Cousins. Let's talk about the money issue.
Yeah,
Kirk Cousins is a lot of money and is guaranteed. I didn't even know that, but it also gives the Vikings a little bit of an out.
It's fantastic because it's a 3-year deal.
It is a 3-year deal, and it's 3 years guaranteed.
Yeah,
and if I was never aware of that.
If he's good, he hangs around, and if he does his job, and we do.
But there's no incentives on top of it, which I think is a good thing that keeps the Vikings out of getting really burnt out here, but. I'm hoping with the team that he actually has around him, as far as offensively, I mean, they should be
scoring touchdowns. Yeah, he's got all the weapons he could possibly want. And that's 90% of the reason why we got the guy. It's like he saw that our receiving duel, tight end, running back, like our skill guys are top three in the league. I'll say top three in the league. I have no problem saying that. Like, who's better? Give me other teams that you think
are
better.
I'll
say Pittsburgh.
Antonio Give me Brown. A couple. I just think Antonio Brown. That's all I think.
Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
And then Juju. But you take the first two guys you said
think,
there.
I don't think Juju's crazy though. Like I think I'll take.
He's Diggs. Fine.
I'll take Diggs.
But I take the first two guys that they have on that team. The Steelers have on that team over any fucking guys that any other team has. I take Le'Veon as a running back over any other running back, and I'll take Roscoe Antonio Parrish. Brown over any other receiver.
I'll take Roscoe Parrish, and I'll take Chris Gamble.
All right.
I'll take Eric Decker.
All right, we're shut down this goddamn podcast. This is stupid. Bobby, just cross the line. We're done.
Okay, no, so obviously, Kurt, we hope that he comes in there and does amazing things, which should be done. By the way, can you grab me on?
3 years, $80 million. You better be doing something.
But when you look at the rest of the aspect, do you think the defense is going to be able to hold everything down?
The defense?
Yeah.
That's the one part I'm not worried about, to be honest with you.
You can grab a heavy glow if you want. By the way, guys, we're actually sampling a beer right now from Fargo Brewing. It is the... What is it, Sonny?
Coors Light.
Coors Light. It is the None More Black brew that they have from Fargo Brewing Company. It's actually absolutely delicious. It's a stout, and I actually did not feel like it was heavy at all. It was actually pretty light.
I'm going to drink some White Claw.
I'm looking at our other host right now, Andrew Merrick, and I see him with a dental dam and a White Claw as he's drinking this cocktail with his pinky up.
Ran out of beer.
He did not run out. There's beer in there.
Well, give me a couple minutes. I'll go get one.
Oh, yeah, I bet you will. Either way, guys, so Kirk Cousins, is he worth the money or is he not? Sonny, I want to hear your take.
I like what they invest in Trevor Siemian.
He's talking.
For the Broncos?
We're talking backup. Actually, I don't hate it either. Like,
seriously. If you're gonna get a quarterback, you gotta get someone to back him up. I mean, there's no telling what'll happen if he goes down.
Trevor Siemian, as far as like Case Keenum goes,
the team's not great, but why not? The team's built to win, even if their starting quarterback goes down. You can survive. I think that's what.
Okay, but how were you guys at all distraught by like? Teddy Bridgewater, obviously, we all wanted the guy.
I thought he was going to be a decent quarterback, but
I mean, it was one injury that really separated him. Like he had one year where he got away from AP, and I was like, it's going to be his year.
That's what I thought. And then
he gets hurt.
They said that he was looking good in training camp. He was moving well.
I was so excited for him.
When he went down, like I wasn't even like about football. I was like, this guy's like. Life is like hanging in the balance because he's fucking like
it was
one of the worst knee injuries that I think it was like a dislocated kneecap and like a torn something like torn. I'm not a doctor, so I'm just saying like
wait.
The guy was set up to be
when you gave me that colonoscopy like a week ago. You said you were Dr. Drew.
No, Uncle Drew.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. Sorry, you got your wires crossed there, buddy. But
that's why I fell in the Lego piece up there.
Yeah, well, you gotta stop doing that to yourself.
You just said you were the... Wait, what?
I got the whole thing with the...
You awkward son of a bitch.
Yeah, that's how you gotta roll.
So we got three cousins, but let's talk about the Vikings D. Vikings D is returning a lot of people, obviously. Hitman Harry.
Best safety in the league. I don't give a shit what anybody else says. I've watched him long enough to know that he's the best safety.
Absolutely hate Notre Dame, and I am so glad that we actually drafted him as
out of Notre Dame. Yeah,
exactly. And
you can't say you hate Notre Dame and just talk about something without saying that.
No, I can't. I definitely
can't. He came from Notre Dame.
I just did that. That's pure English. That's right. Pure America.
When I tell you about butchering the English language, people like that's just you can expect it from this side of the table.
Really.
You
know? Yeah. Slanders and slurs dictionary. Asshole. No, but I think that the defense is up to par. I mean, we lose what Tom Johnson. That's really like our big giveaway.
I think you're missing the fact that Sheldon Richardson's gonna make one hell of a difference on the defensive line. Because, yeah, Tom Johnson has been, solid.
He's huge.
Yeah, he's been solid, and there's nothing wrong with him. He did his job. He didn't have any glaring mistakes. He wasn't glaring mistakes type of guy, but Sheldon Richardson's a difference maker. Like, he put two defensive tackles, like Linval Joseph and Sheldon Richardson together. Like, and they both are different styles of defensive tackles.
But we got a guy from Ohio State, too. It was a defensive lineman, defensive end, Sonny?
Jalen Holmes.
That was a mid-round pick.
Mid-round pick? I think like third or fourth?
Fourth round pick.
But like a speed rusher, in a sense, right?
A lot of the guys that Ohio State has, they don't have necessarily defensive tackles, so what they ended up doing was converting defensive ends.
Yeah, they had a bunch of cheaters.
Well, they converted defensive ends, and they just bulked them up, which helped, you know, speed-wise, but they weren't size-wise.
It's more...
Were they the outside linebackers with speed?
Yeah.
Yeah, in college football, you can get away with having the best athletes on the field. Right. Size-wise, sometimes it doesn't matter quite as much, unless you're going up against, you know, the Alabamas of the world.
Yeah.
Who stockpile, you know, 6'7", 330-foot monsters.
Well, and that can still come back to haunt, because then they don't have the speed to compete later on.
That's what I'm saying. There's a system in place there at Ohio State. They know what they're doing. They pump out a lot of defensive linemen that can play multiple spots on the defensive line.
So we touched base on this actually a little bit last week, but what my main concern is, I'm not a big Trey Waynes fan. I don't think I'll ever be.
He had a really good. He had a pretty damn good.
And he had a pretty decent year last year. It's still a thing. I still feel like I find him in awkward situations where he's actually fucking up shit. It could be anybody. Yeah, but like, that's. I think that's why it's like I actually pay attention too much. I think to the point where I'm actually catching him on stupid shit.
If you're watching him, you're watching for him to screw up. He had a good year last year. He really did.
So bringing in Mike Hughes. I think that was
the best player available draft pick there.
But he's got a lot of potential.
He's ranked second best cornerback.
When it comes to Zim though, Zim drafts these corners. He drafted Alexander 2 years ago. He's a guy that if he sees a guy that he thinks he can coach up, like maybe there's some. I almost think he likes to take raw guys at corner. Yeah. Coach them up because they have all the other tools. He's been doing it for 15 years now. Longer than 15 even. Because he's been doing it in Cincinnati. He's with the Giants, I think. He's a defensive back guru. So if he sees a guy, like that's why when he took that pick, I'm like, oh, this guy might end up being really good. Because Waynes, by the way, like I said last year, Waynes had a really good year.
Yeah, for the
and
first
he
year.
Was fucking clueless the first 2 years in the NFL.
I felt like it was anytime I watch him play, I think that's why I ended up hating him so much, is because anytime I watched Trey Waynes play, it was pass interference call. It was nonsensical, pass interference calls. Like it was a 5 yard slant and he was grappling on him.
It's like
Stalker to a Morgan diet. Like it was just like just wrapping his hands around it.
Yeah, seeing him at Michigan State, that's what I always liked about him, is that he was aggressive.
He was aggressive. You guys obviously got to see him a lot more knighted.
I watched a lot of him.
I'll always take an aggressive cornerback over someone who's just going to be more finesse.
I don't get that opportunity, really.
The one knock on Hughes, I think, is that he might be a little undersized. But Zim
5'10".
I think he's tall. He might be a little taller than that, but he's like a perfect nickel guy. Like, but the thing is that they drafted Alexander 2 years ago, and it's like, what are you going to do with this guy that you drafted?
5'11", like 180 or something. Like that? Yeah,
but the thing is, he's like, he's got longer arms, I think, and he's very strong. He's a tough.
So. I think his personal issues really scared me. I think of anything.
Everybody says
but like
that.
it's like you said. It's Zim Vikings, has a knack Vikings, for taking guys like Pac-Man Jones and everybody else.
That's what I'm saying. Like I've always seen. It's fucked up. I've always seen from like all these NFL teams that are shying away from guys with character issues. How often do those guys with character issues screw it up at the next level?
Pac-Man Jones did it like 3 times.
Yeah, but he's still playing, so he hasn't done anything that stupid.
I have not seen him play yet.
Or you think about so Percy Harvin, like that. He's one of the. He's an example of a guy that did. But you think about the guys that flaked out because they didn't have, you know, they couldn't stay on the field because of whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there are some, yeah, but are those guys that, are they drafted, you know, are they, projected to be first-round picks, you know? Some of them are, some of them aren't.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, guys, I would take a chance on talent. Character's big, but
no,
like...
No, I'd like to take a chance on talent. Like
Randy Moss is the perfect example of a guy who nobody ever thought he'd even see the
so
field.
So we were talking about Randy Moss earlier, where he went to Florida State, got kicked off his team, I think, but his original dream was to go to Lou Holtz at Notre Dame.
Oof, sorry about
wasn't it?
That.
Wasn't it Lou Holtz going to Forest or to Notre Dame?
Yeah, it was up
to
Forest State,
and then he actually was going to go to West Virginia, and then he went to Marshall.
Yeah, he got booted off Florida State. I know that for sure. But then he went. I think he tried to. I didn't know he was trying to. He went to go to Notre Dame.
But that was a third. That was the first 30. Yeah, that was the first choice.
Notre Dame.
First
choice was God. Maybe he is dumber than I thought.
That was a good 30 for 30 though.
I didn't see that one. That's probably
why. McCann's hands down, I think, probably the best. It's such a tough call. I can't say he's the best receiver because obviously Chris Carter's there.
Oh, man, those two guys are pretty neck and neck when it comes to the best receivers in Vikings history.
But who do you take, Chris Carter, Randy Moss, if you guys are left into that situation, or any other receiver? I mean, it's that.
Honestly, it's
that wide of a topic.
It is tough. As a Vikings fan, watching both of them, especially on the same team, they both had their different little, niches.
Exactly.
They were unique in their own way. Like, Moss was a guy that you could... He's going to outrun you, like, pretty much no matter what. Like, he's going to bait you, and he's going to have three steps ahead of you because he was faster than you.
He was 4'1",
and he was also... 40. Yeah, he's also 6'4". Carter was the one of the better possession receivers of all time.
That's what we went into.
He's a guy that... understood where the first down marker was at all times. He's a guy that knew where the sidelines were at all times. He's a guy who never dropped a pass. He's a guy who was smart. He could outthink the defensive backs. He was everything that Moss kind of is the opposite. It was like Moss was a straight athletic specimen, a guy that ran down the field and just pointed in the air. And Dante, back in the day, Dante Cunningham, the guys that he played with, would be like, hey, you know what? This guy's fucking incredible. I'm going to throw it high as I can and as far as I can. He's going to end up being there.
Could you easily go and say, though, that...
They had their own special talents.
They both had their own special talents. But could you split them up in two different fields? Could you say that one was like more of a dynamic opposed to a possession?
Playmaker.
They're both this. I mean, they're both important. Like, if you needed to get,
not to take anything away from either one of them. Like, they're both significant, obviously, in their own roles. But if you were to say you want to look for the touchdown pass downfield,
oh yeah, and I mean, but that's the thing. Carter could do that too because
he could.
Like, you don't. Yeah.
It's like you said. He finds out what a defense is doing.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. He was just kind of a better like. I'll even say that he's a better overall receiver than Moss, but Moss was more of the yards after catch guy, the guy who was tall, could out jump you, could outrun you. Like, so there was the yardage wasn't really all that close, like career numbers wise. Yeah. But
let me read.
There's
back
an importance.
This.
I mean, Chris Carter's a Hall of Famer for a reason.
He is. So, what does it look like now when you have a comparison? You actually have, obviously, you have Chris Carter, Randy Moss. Now you have Adam Thielen and you have Stephon Diggs. There's quite a bit of separation, obviously, between the two.
Because yeah,
there's a legacy.
Hall of Famers.
There's a legacy.
Yeah.
But Stephon Diggs, I mean, if he keeps on playing balls out like
he
can be
too,
great.
He gets hurt from time to time.
But then Adam Thielen, you have like a really good worker where I almost see the Chris Carter and Adam Thielen rather than...
That's, it's...
The possession.
It's very similar. They're guys that they're going to give... The ball's around them, they're going to bring it in. Like
exactly.
They're not going to... They don't drop passes. They create fantastic separation. They're great elite route runners.
Yep.
Diggsy's a really good route runner, too. He's just kind of more of that vertical threat. He's a little faster.
A little faster, got a little bit more hop in the step.
I read it like a stat, and Diggsy on corner routes, like, he was... I think he... What was it? Like, the completion percentage to Diggsy on corner routes was, like, 82%, which is, like, unfucking heard of. And I could be wrong, like, that exact number, but it's really high.
For sure.
Guys, so, and that's the thing. I want you to... You folks that listen here, go ahead on Twitter.
You're going to say 50% of the time, 100% of
get
the time.
Get us on... Yeah, get
By
us
way,
on Twitter.
We
and
do have a Twitter.
Mistakes,
it's
please.
At Cuddle Talk. At Cuddle underscore talk. You guys will find us on there. If you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, you guys can hit us up on Anchor. We can actually throw your comments up on here as well. On Anchor, if you want to do a voice
message.
They
don't have to have anything to do with football either. We can talk about drinking stories from back in the day. I don't even care.
We can literally talk about just about anything.
Anything.
It's actually great. We can actually talk about Sonny's old eating habits. We can talk about Drew and his
snare. Back around to the airplane talk that I missed last week, which was pretty funny.
Ooh, booey. But we can talk about just a lot of different things. By the way, this podcast is actually brought to you by Jeff Skevings Butt Cream. If you're not wearing it, you're probably hurting. By the way, guys, so we're getting into it. And we're going to talk about something a little bit different than Vikings football. Obviously, we're NFC North champs. We're going to retain that. And that's our head thought going into it. But there's a little bit of light that's been brought onto us right now of Sano going down to single A.
Oh, we're switching over.
He was in the pros just as of, like, I don't know, like 2 weeks ago?
Right now? Like Sano? Right now?
Like
as of an hour ago? Yeah.
Yeah, he was just brought down to single A?
Yeah. This is Sano, man. You talk about the Twins, some of their promising future.
But can you really blame the guy? Did he face Chet Stedman?
No, I don't think it was Chet Stedman. I think it was Henry Rowan Gardner today. Henry Rowan Gardner? Yeah.
Rosenbaga.
It's Gardenmacher. Gardenhoser.
Gardenhoser.
How do we all have three of the names that were actually called?
Because they were all on there. It's a great movie. No, it's a big deal because they didn't just send him down to like AAA. You know, they send him all the way down to single A.
Yeah, exactly. Which, find your way again.
That's a front office telling you that it's sending a message. It's saying, you know what? You're really, really bad. Lose some fucking weight. You're overweight. You're way overweight.
How much does he weigh?
He's like 275, at least. Like, he's up there.
But, like, not in his pants.
His thighs are bigger than your entire body.
I'm pretty fucking massive. Right, I don't know if you've known this, but I've been lifting weights lately.
No, I just... Yeah, no, none of that.
I'm flexing.
The Twins are really struggling right now. Their bats are just... And it's... I think last year, like, we made the playoffs as a wild card, being 500.
But I think that was, like, everybody playing at, like, completely different level. Like, it was a level that we had not seen that whole year.
They got really hot. Which hitters tend to do. But when you look at, like, the overall numbers of a lot of these guys, like, throughout their careers, you have a couple of hitters. And let me just say this. There's no coincidence that the Twins have been shitty since Bauer went down. Because Mauer's the only guy that I would consider to be an intelligent hitter. A guy that understands the strike zone, doesn't chase. Like, he's a guy that he gets a lot of, you know, a lot of shit for being, you know, not a home run hitter. But what's the most important part of baseball, folks? Getting on base. Getting on base. That's the biggest part of baseball. And you know what? He does it. His OPS is still hovering around 400. Yeah, and when you have Sano, a guy who's never on base because he strikes out 500 times a year.
Nick Buddha.
You're going to do this again.
I'm not going to do anything. I'm just talking facts.
Yeah, I know.
Buddha was the best player that ever played in Minnesota.
Just a nice little reboot here. Bobby Perez's favorite baseball player of all time is Nick Punto.
Cannot help it, though. Like, he's...
Actually wouldn't play for a lot of people's high school teams. Like, just got lucky and was in the major.
By the way, hey, congratulations. Your alma mater, Sacred Heart, Ashley was in state. They were playing against Heritage Christian.
Yep.
Playing against they were actually up, I think, in the sixth.
Led the whole game.
And then they threw in their ace from Missouri.
Yeah, Missouri commit, drafted by the Twins in the third round, just to hold the game, like, so they wouldn't score any runs. Because we were ahead by, you know, we were ahead 3-2 pretty much the whole game. After the third inning, it was 3-2 all the way to the seventh. And
they hit the little Texas Liga in there.
Got the bases loaded. They blooped in a nice single and two-run score. Got walked off on number. We lost the number one team in the state, and we probably are in total a better team. But, it happens. Like, it's tough. You go to state tournament, anything can happen. That's why it's beautiful. That's why it's beautiful.
That's why I'm training McCoy early.
That's right. You can get them juiced up. You can teach them what a needle is and where that's supposed to go when you're trying to get strong. Exactly. And
Mitch Dolan's hand cream. If you're not wearing it, you're probably not picking up chicks.
All right.
Another one.
You're dropping fake ads, but who knows? Maybe one of these things will actually exist one of these days.
What if they do? We just get paid out big.
No, because then we'd be able to, like, hey, we had this idea first. Where's our money?
But I don't think Mitch has really I don't know. Mitch Dolan, by the way, he's listening right now. He told me he was actually going to listen to this podcast in the morning because he was so excited for the last one. The last one apparently hit really well with a lot of people. Guys, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or topics you guys think we should talk about, let us know at any point in time. We're very excited to talk about it. Sonny really hasn't said much. He is about as active as Helen Keller in any conversation.
Good pull, Bob.
I really couldn't point. But are there any comments, concerns, anything aside, obviously, from Sano?
Let me just rattle off a couple more things. It's not just Sinol. It's the entire Twins roster. Like they have a couple decent starting pitchers now, which
is just want to watch out for Drew at the post office.
Going postal. I see what you're doing there.
I didn't say anything.
No, they just it's a lot of stupid hitters on one team, and it's killing us. I think there's a little bit of talent there. Like, they said something about, I don't know if I'd be proud of this if I was Eddie Rosario, but he's the best bad ball hitter in baseball, which means he makes the best contact with pitches that are out of the zone. Which means you're also kind of a stupid hitter at the same time. So, like, you got all these hitters.
He's trying.
He's our best player because he can do that. These other guys think that they can do that, it seems like, because they're always swinging the shit out of the zone. They're striking. All this team strikes out a ton. We can't hit lefties that are throwing 12 miles an hour. Like, it's really bad. The Twins, offensively, I think we're going to see a big time. Come trade deadline, you'll see Dozier, I think, get shipped out. And
I think Dozier's about on his way out, yeah.
Yeah, he's done, because this is his contract year. So we're going to have to...
To me, honestly, he's a player for the past, two or three years?
No, he had a good run there. Like I still think he can hit dingers, and I think somebody else, you know... The Dodgers would be a nice team to come call him, because they need a set...
Here's the thing, honestly, you know what he reminded me of so much more of? It was it Roberts from Baltimore?
David?
Years back,
David.
Yeah.
No, that's not Dave. Dave's a manager for the...
Was it Roberts? Was it Rob?
Brian Roberts. Yeah.
From years back, he had the power. He had the contact. He was just having a solo year. And then all of a sudden, it was like 2 years, and it was just like...
Yeah, a lot of shit can happen. You know what that is? That's people figuring out your strengths and weaknesses. Exactly. It's baseball's a game of adjustments. If you can't adjust to what somebody's doing, you're going to be a bad baseball player, and you're going to be out of the league really quick.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be able to make adjustments. And a lot of these Twins hitters have shown that they're unable to do that so far. Like, there's a couple guys that, you know, I think that you can see that, like, Escobar and Rosario is just kind of decent because he can make contact with just about anything. He's like a Vlad Guerrero, Kirby Puckett guy who can just, a ball bounces in the dirt, he can still hit it to the gap.
Drop to his knee.
He's one of those guys. Yeah, but, like, a lot of the Twins hitters right now are just, you can tell that they're just, one, frustration sets in when you're hitting, but also you see a lot of these guys swinging at shit pitches early in counts. Like, there's been like kind of a poor approach to play. They might be taking pitches. It's like the pitches you're supposed to hit when they come in the zone, they're not swinging at, and then they chase garbage. Like, it's been like that for, you know, a month now. It's kind of frustrating to watch because you want these guys to learn because a lot of them are still young, but at some point in time, like, maybe they're just not figuring it out. At the rate that they're supposed to, you know, and then that's when you got to figure out what you're going to do with them. Like,
it can be
there's guys you
got
to give a lot, long, you know, a leash to, but
exactly
just based on tools. Like, Buxton's a guy that I wouldn't get rid of him for a while either.
I love Buxton. Buxton's one of those guys, but at the same time, I mean, I love Darren Hicks. I loved everybody that we really brought in that I thought was really going to turn out for us, like to actually keep us like a full time player. I think we had like a Torii Hunter. But it's not there.
We're gonna see a really, really different squad next year. I think we might actually see a new manager too, because Paul Molitor's been pretty bad.
This topic, Justin, Kellen Winslow Jr. arrested for 9 criminal charges, including rape and kidnapping.
Jeez,
that guy just got in trouble. Like, what was it? A week ago?
Kellen Winslow?
Well, that has to stem from the same incident.
Are you talking about the cop from Family Matters? See what I did there?
Yeah, no, I see what you did there. I'm trying to think what his name was.
It's Winslow.
It's Carl Winslow.
It's Carl Winslow.
Carl's the guy.
Carl!
I know,
Then you got Betty.
He's really going to be
Kellen Winslow, I've hated him forever because he's the guy that came on to a broadcast and when asked a question screamed, "I'm a soldier." Is that Kellen Winslow you're talking about?
He's ROTC. What
I believe
say
the quote
it?
Was, "I'm a
he
fucking
wasn't when
soldier."
He was
playing. He was ROTC.
Can't say that though.
Drew, you know,
that's not something you say on TV. Like, you know, like that's not what.
Drew, just the other day, I saw you slapping your chest and raising your hand over there doing the Hi Hitler, and I wasn't saying anything. I didn't say anything, and that was actually a church retreat, for Sacred Heart. I couldn't believe it. It was ridiculous.
Oh. Oh, okay. I see what's going on here. This is sabotage. Making up stories, folks.
No, I...
Making up stories.
God, no, actually, you know what? When I saw that thing where Ashley did the whole deal of, you know, I'm a soldier, though, I honestly thought he had CTE was
right. Well, he lost it. Like he,
his mind was gone.
That interview was
Miami.
Well, he got roasted.
That was in Miami, but I think CTE was a major factor even back then.
That's
dude.
Just a kid just acting.
That was he was a pro. He was a pro. When he
but
did
at
that.
The same time, there was no repercussion. There was no apologies after it. Like to even say I was acting awkward.
Think he was.
He didn't say anything. He didn't say anything.
I don't think he was suspended, but I'm sure he was reprimanded by. Or his coach was at that time. But was a Coker.
There's just been. There's been.
He didn't. That was in college. Shit. That was in the pros. He said.
No,
that
I was pros. No, no, it was college.
It was college.
Was it?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It was. So there was a team that was going for his knees. He was. They're going for my knees. I'm going after them.
That's.
I was
yeah,
like. You know, I looked at him. I was like.
That's a head war. Trust me. Okay, if I know a head case.
Here's
that's
the thing.
A head case.
Here's the thing. And I was like. I was like. I always got by at Miami. Like Miami was like my juice up thing. Like I'd always watch whatever they did.
You getting juiced up during Miami game?
Kellen Winslow Jr., when he did that, I started putting everything away. It was like, Pezza Spencer's gun, fake juice yeah. going gun. I was like, what the fuck is going on with this
guy? Yeah, that was a dumbass thing to say on his part. I mean, he could have said anything, literally anything else, and I think it wouldn't have sounded as stupid. But you're a college kid soldier, screaming, right? I'm a soldier after like some...
it's like after multiple people went
you're
to
not
Iraq,
you're, like, you're, oh, a college, you're a guy who's getting your college paid for to play football, like settle the fuck down, you know.
Oh god, so obviously we discussed our beautiful topics. Are there any last words or any other things you guys want to discuss?
You know, we might have a layoff here for a while because you know I got wedding to go to, and I'll be gone.
Is your wedding this weekend?
Little brother's wedding is.
Is this weekend?
Yeah.
Which I'm
leaving
crashing.
Tomorrow.
I'm crashing, actually.
You're welcome. You're welcome to come.
I'm going to show Bradley all my full Monty.
I'm going to get wet girl wasted like nobody's business.
Yeah, you're going to be drinking fucking...
gin and tonics.
Malibu's and diet. Woo!
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. That's Drew Slaver, if anybody ever knows.
Oh, yeah. Yep, Malibu, and then, you know, I just transition to Jack every now and then.
As Sunny over here drinks his dry martini. With this pinky up, you snotty asshole.
That's the only way to do it.
But, all right, let's go into our topics. Obviously, football season's right around the corner. Drew, I never really got to touch base with you on this. What do you guys have coming in as far as your football team goes? Offensive threats, defense threats, coaching. Obviously, your coach is going to be doing amazing. So,
yeah, we're recruit college footballer.
Yeah.
We're talking, so your team would be the Gophers, is what you're saying.
The Fighting Flex.
The Fighting Flex. I you know what, it's kind of like, our program's been really average for a long time now, and it's, like the...
For a really long time? Like, when was Marion Barber and...
They were good, but they were still like a 9-3 team, or like a 10-0.
Yeah. You know.
They were good, they were top three in the Big Ten, but they never won it. Like, they haven't won a Big Ten title since like 1960. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know, like, they're... Flex a good coach. Like, I have faith. I haven't had faith in a coach more than I've had in Fleck, because Fleck understands how to recruit. He relates to kids really well.
Realized
and he's got a track record at Western Michigan. Like, he took a program that was complete dog shit, and he brought in guys, he recruited guys, recruited well there. He's been recruiting well for us.
Yeah.
You know, for this school, like, you know, cold weather school, like, whatever. He's been recruiting well here, and he's really good with offense, I think. I think he's more of like an offensive style coach, which he's bringing in some good receivers. He's always going to have good receivers because he was a receiver in the NFL himself. So I think they're going to be pretty set for the receiver position. But defensively, that's kind of the question mark, I think. I think it's trying to figure out, you know, because they've got some guys coming back. Their linebackers will be good. They got a couple good defensive ends, but... depth now. When it comes to, you know, when you want to compete with the big boys, you gotta have depth.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of working on that. It's only a second year. People are already like, you know, jumping down his ass, and they're saying,
yeah,
"When are we gonna win? When are we?" It's a process. And no, we don't. It's a process. And he's recruited well, so we'll see how he can coach
him. As a Minnesota fan, why are you jumping on anybody's ass to actually go and win? Like, to win, like, a national championship or, like, conference championship?
No, they're just saying, like, we want to win now. Exactly. Like, they think it happens overnight. It doesn't happen overnight.
And we've discussed this. Like, everybody says the same thing about Miami. Like, it takes time. Like, you got to set every
It takes a lot more time for Minnesota to win than Miami, though. Exactly. You can't, like, you guys are always going to have the elite talent, the elite coaches. You're always going to have that.
Yeah. Because you can't pay for every player like Ohio State does.
Yeah, those Buckeyes, man, they just shelling out money. Exactly. Living in Alabama, like, giving cars away.
When you come to campus and you get $50,000 set up, like,
yeah,
in a dorm room, like...
Jeez.
Tattoo gate will never be let down.
No. Yeah, right? Just kidding.
No, but... Okay, so you obviously have a big quarterback battle coming out here. DB? Who are your running backs going to get?
J.K. Dobbins?
J.K. Dobbins. There you go. Drew, can you give me one of the gloves?
Yeah.
You can have one, too, if you want.
Oh, cool. They're warm.
By the way, Drew...
They're warm. I don't know if you actually want...
Drew's just smooching beer. Are they really warm?
They feel kind of warm. They've been in there. These are beer. Long, huh? These are beer.
I think it's the outside.
Okay. Alright.
By the way, guys, so we're having our other beer right now. We're doing the podcast continuously right now. We're having Heavy Glow from Drekker, actually, in the Valhalla series. Obviously, carrying on our Vikings talk. But we're talking to Sonny Bear right now about Ohio State Buckeyes, the Big Ten West.
The big dogs in the Big Ten. That's what it comes down to.
It's a Big Ten. No, you're Big Ten West, and Sonny's Big Ten East, isn't he?
Yeah, we don't have to deal with those. We don't have to deal with those guys very often.
Maybe those guys.
Every 6 to 7 years.
Yeah, it's every 4 years.
Actually, that was a... Remember when we went to that game? That was actually a pretty solid game.
Yeah, the last Minnesota, I was at that game too.
Were you at the game?
Minnesota, Ohio State, yep.
Oh, that's
in
right.
In the snow. It was beautiful.
You were hanging out with your other friends. Me and Sonny were actually hanging out. And no, we were like, hey, Drew, come on over.
I didn't know you guys were at the game.
Oh, fuck, Mexicans are here. Yeah, they probably got potatoes for us. And I was like, oh, you're an asshole.
Goddamn Mexicans.
That was a very good game.
That was an awesome game because the Gophers actually had a shot to come back. We couldn't throw the football, so it's really tough to come back.
I don't think either one of you guys had Ohio State or Minnesota.
It was like a 75-yard run by Barrett.
Yeah.
That killed us.
It was runs. That's all
and
it was.
And then we had a shot to tie the game at the end, and then the Gophers came in. I'll never forget that game. And not because...
I won't either.
It was the snow. The snow was like perfectly falling. It was a thick snow.
And
it was a perfect game for football. Like, just
we had to, I had to go buy socks that game because my feet were fucking freezing.
I drank at least 3.5 gallons of Hot 100. It was awesome. Like I
wish I was my kids.
The security guard actually took my Hot 100 out of my back pocket, but the bottle's empty, and I turned around and I shook my... I Dikembe Mutombo'd him. I gave him the finger. I'm like, it's gone. Like, peace out, brother. So I was already 90% in the bag. You know, I'm hammered. Like, I just... But that game was fun because it was like a perfect cold weather game. Like,
it was.
That light snow, It was a good game. It was close. Like, most of the game was close. Because that was when Kill was coaching, you know, preseason.
It was a very good game. I can remember that at least. And I just remember looking at Sonny. It's like, we were drinking beer that game, and our beer was frosting up just as quick as we were drinking it. But at the same time, I was like, I need a fucking pair of socks.
I don't care if you live down south, and if this bothers you, I don't care. But football weather is 35 to 40 degrees.
I love it.
Maybe a light snow. Light snow is great for football. Because you stay cool. It's just, that's how football's supposed to be played. That's how supposed to be played.
What was the coldest game you ever played in at high school?
High school, man. I think it was probably in a 20-degree playoffs. It was more snow because we got like a foot of snow.
I put this on him because degrees. He can't lie about it. Like, if I go and say like I was playing -5, he can't be like, oh, no, I was playing in 12.
No, it was 20-degree weather. We played in some snow. They had to shovel out. They had to plow off snow. It was a playoff game. Plow off snow on the field before we played. No, this is a road game. So we went there, and it had already dumped
about a foot and a half. Were other
people there? I didn't play by myself.
I'm just wondering.
Sometimes I do, but different scenario.
So do you want to try them?
No, I'm good.
But, it was a good 25 degrees. It was probably a good 25 degrees. It was below freezing.
What was yours? I want to know yours.
None.
Okay,
I didn't want a game in high school, so there's no point in talking about it.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Drew, did you at least win one game in high school?
We had some decent teams later on, but yeah, I think
we won. Did you at least win one game?
We certainly did.
Okay.
We won a lot more than one.
My brother, Sonny Perez here, no pantalones himself, did not win a single game. I think it was almost career, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm pretty proud of it.
What's it like to be the only player that knows what they're doing on the football field? Yeah, that would be super depressing.
Got pretty fun,
you know, to do all the work. That was that's not bad, and that is was it? That was what, Sonny? That had to have been 100 and how many pounds ago?
Jeez.
Oh my God. There's like four people that fell off you by now.
Yeah, I remember it turned
Four Kenyans running the 26 mile have fell off you.
I figured I better turn it around once I realized Shaq weighed as much as I did.
And he's 7'2", so yeah. He's not.
Yeah. I heard his weight and I remembered, yeah, this isn't good. Let's go the other way.
But you could have been the big kid from Hook that was eating the air burger.
Oh yeah,
the fictional snacks.
We played a game at like Red River, I think, and I was walking through the tunnel, and I remember it was like a mom and her kid looked at me and they go, "Whoa."
Honestly, here's one crazy thing.
I'm pretty sure it was just like the size.
We went to a scrimmage like in Grafton or Crookston area, and I remember mom getting into like a debate with like the referees going, he's definitely not in eighth grade. He's got to be in high school. And I just looked at you. I was like, oh, why are they being so rude though? Because he's brown. Like that was my first thing. I was like, because he's brown. And I was like, I didn't even look at Sonny's size. I was like, oh yeah, he's like 280 pounds. I was like, yeah, it's seventh grader. I was like, yeah, that's a big kid. Sonny was standing like 6 foot tall at that point.
It's all pads. I like to wear the neck collars.
So how much did you drop?
Total?
At your heaviest weight, what was it?
At my heaviest? I couldn't say. It was.
I think it was like 360.
It was north of 330 pounds at least.
And you're down to at least, what, 180?
It's I would below, say like 180. Yeah, it's below 200. I don't know.
That's incredible, folks. That's a lesson to be learned.
Yeah. By the way,
you can do it if you put your mind to it.
Keep away from your Oreos with milk with a spoon.
Or else 19 boxes of mac and cheese with like cut up pole sausages in it. Here's the funny thing. He congratulates you. He's like, you look so great, blah, blah, blah. I told Drew this, and Drew goes, that's bullshit. You look fatter than I do right now. I was like, that was literally the comment that we had last week.
It's true.
Because I go, I'm 209 pounds, and he goes, I'm 205. You look fatter than I do. I was like,
yeah, did you guys hear yourselves?
No. Well,
I did. I showed him a picture, actually, of it. I was like, I weigh 209 pounds. I've done a lot of running.
He's actually the same weight as me, which is
I pretty do impressive. A lot of running. I don't have weights, I guess, every once in a while. So, that's good for me. But, guys, what do you say? Last comments of the podcast. What do you want to do? Drew, go for it.
I don't have any comments. I got a wedding to get to tomorrow.
Congratulations, Brad.
Yeah, congratulations, my little brother. Don't screw it up. Because you might not do it again.
Brad just turns out he finds out he's gay. That's it.
Yeah,
I went with a complete horrible scenario there.
Yeah, you did.
Sonny, any questions, comments, concerns, anything you wanted to plug about your team, about Ohio State, anything like that?
Yeah, that'll come in the coming weeks, I'm sure, when season gets really good.
Yeah, we'll get into that come football season for sure.
Just there trying to contribute as much as I can here with the Vikings talk. I'm not much of a Vikings fan, but definitely saw most of the season.
Exactly, because Sonny loves that food butter.
NFL players are, but
it's more college for Sonny, I think.
Sonny, yeah. What is your favorite college, or not your college, but your favorite soccer team?
The Loons!
The Minnesota Loons. I'm a West Ham guy.
You went straight to the English Premier League. Woo! You sellout.
Come on, you Irons! That's what I fucking
American
do.
American is what it is.
Guys, it is a complete pleasure of mine to present to you the second episode of the Saturday Morning Cuddle Talk podcast. Sonny really didn't speak that much. We're going to get him into it a little bit more next week. Hopefully, we're doing it on a Friday. Drew is absolutely hammered right now. He's looking at me with those puppy dog eyes. And, guys, we're going to talk to you soon. We love you. We'll talk to you soon. Love.
Cuddle Talk Podcast.
Hey guys, it is a Saturday morning Cuddle Talk Podcast. We're actually going with our top 10s here. It can be top 10 foods, top 10 beers, whatever
give
you guys
want. Give us a category.
Yeah, give us a topic. Why don't you guys hit us up here? We'll actually cover the next one. We're going to be covering a little bit of the World Cup. We're going to be talking about Andrew's STDs. And that's where we're going to go from right now. We love you guys. Peace out.
The
podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.